Whatever it takes, my friend. That's what God's asking of each of us today. Whatever it takes. Do you have friends that you know need Jesus? Sure we do. Sure we do. Do you have people in heaven because of you? Because of your testimony, because of the way you lived, because of the way you conducted your life, that you became like salt that drew them, that you came to them because of the saltiness, the water you provided of life, whatever it takes. I'm glad that paralyzed man had some friends, aren't you? You have friends that might not be physically paralyzed, but they're paralyzed because of their lifestyle, their things that are going on in their life. How do you get to know that? You spend time with them. And they knew Jesus was in town. And everywhere Jesus went, you notice when he preached the word, he drew a crowd. And today's no different. Jesus is speaking to you through me. We just need to become more transparent. Because in the scripture we read in Mark, when he said, I forgive your sins. What did the Pharisees do? Their heart turned. How can he say that? Who can forgive sins? They were doing their duty to keep all the religious teachers on track and saying the right thing. But their heart turned. You saw the description. You saw the display. So when the scene unfolded, we noticed that Jesus looked up and he says, I see your faith. I loved how they said, your faith is beautiful. When others see you, do they see your faith? So remember, I'm not asking you anything that Jesus and the Holy Spirit has not asked me. It would be wrong of me to preach something that I have not lived out. Are people drawn to me because of my Jesus that I live for, that I long to be like? He looked up and he saw their faith, not just the four, their. All of them that was there. Jesus is watching us, my friend. I gotta be honest, I'm a little surprised. I'm grateful for your presence today. And I guess because I'm a rookie at hurricanes, this was my first one. And you can see I lived through it. We lived through it, didn't we, Emmy? I would have thought this place would have been packed. But if you go through them like, oh, it's just another hurricane. But listen, my friend, when you don't have power, that's serious business. I don't know how many times I walked into the closet and turned on the light and thought, you dummy. Didn't work. Do you have the power of the living God living inside of you? Or is it turned off? When you go to school, when you go to work, you spend time with Jesus, hopefully in the morning, reading his word, his love letter to us. But then you get to work and you think, oh, I'll just put that aside. When he sees us, I pray, my friend, that he sees Jesus, the one who died for us. But then we know Jesus not only looked up, he looked down at the man. He saw him there. And when I read scripture, I got to be reminded that Jesus knows everything. He already knew this was happening. He already had a plan. So when you get up and you go do life, Jesus is before you, beside you, behind you. He's all over you. And he looked at him and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Many of us in this room have heard that. I remember at 8 years old when I asked Jesus, because his Holy Spirit was working in me, my friend, I knew something was different, that God was pressing in on me, and I knew that I needed him. I knew it. So I confessed my sins. I called upon the name of the Lord to come in and to cleanse me and to wipe me as white as snow. And he did, my friend, when I was 8 years old. I became his child. I became a part of the family. So I believe Jesus is looking down on you today and on us. And the Holy Spirit, he's the one that can do this. I'm just the presenter. I'm just the preacher today. The Holy Spirit will prick your heart and prompt you to say, "I don't know Jesus." I stood in this very spot yesterday at 1 o'clock doing a memorial service for a person I did not know. And one of the lines I always use in sermons, because I don't know whether they went to heaven or hell. I didn't know the man. But listen, my friend, your faith prepares you for where you will spend eternity. His family assured me he's in heaven. Okay, I get it. But every day, the life that we live, our faith is preparing us for where we will spend eternity. And my friend, when Jesus is looking down on you at this very hour, he's saying, "If you don't know me, I'm here. I'm here." Do business with Jesus, my friend, because you are not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. None of us. So I beg you, do business with Jesus. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. I promise you. 48 years. It's awesome. Jesus not only looked up, he looked down, but he looked around. What was around him? And he saw the scribes and the Pharisees questioning him. And here's what's scary about that we need to make note of, my friend. Jesus knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He does. You know why? Because he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he questioned those Pharisees. "You're questioning me?" He knew. He knew what to ask. "Do you think I'm blaspheming?" You would think the scribes and the Pharisees would know who Jesus is by all the studies and the religious things in which they've been learning. They knew a Messiah was coming. Listen, my friend, Jesus has already come, and he's coming back, and you better be ready. You better be ready. So he said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to forgive his sins." Now, it was interesting in the first hour and the second hour when I asked about praying acts, adoration, what's C? Confession. You know, I didn't hear anybody pray. Did you notice? You know why? Because we don't want anybody to know the sins that we're confessing to King Jesus. The best thing we can do as believers, people who have called on Jesus to come into our life, is be transparent. Because you ain't going to surprise him with what you tell him. Amen? And you know what's going to help us do when we do that? We're going to go out in the world. Students, you're going to go out where you do life, And your battery, your life batteries, your light's going to shine even brighter. It's going to shine brighter. Now, sometimes I like a lot of salt. I know it's not good for me, but I reason it out. But you're going to go out and be light. And it's like people come up your way. Whatever night it was, Friday night, we were at some friend's house, and this lady is a member of our church. She said, I love going to HEB. She said, I meet the presence of the Lord Jesus every day, every time I go to HEB. Tell me more. She goes, God just puts people in my life, in the aisle. We encounter folks all the time. And they always ask, what's different about you? You seem happy. You seem content. You seem joyful. You know what they just did? Pardon the expression, but they just took a big old lick of their life and licked the salt right from what they were talking about and how they could relate. And salt, listen, my friend, makes you thirsty. It makes you thirsty. And it draws people to the living Word of God, the water of life. The water of life. So I ask this question, I ask it again in the first hour. Here we go. Who's in heaven because of you? Who's waiting to see you when God calls you home? Joey's right. If we would make a commitment to do whatever it takes, my friend, to walk out of this door when we finish and resolve to do whatever it takes to go out and tell people about Jesus. Well, Randy, I'm afraid I'll be rejected. You know what I say that? Wah. Well, they might not like what I have to say. Then they'll have to take that up with Jesus when they die. The presence of God is what we desire to experience. I meet with Him most mornings. Every morning I try to meet with Him. Hurricane put a little kink in that. Because you don't have power. I got to find a light. I find a window when the sun comes up. We got to be with Jesus every day, my friend. And asking Him, here I am, Jesus. What do you got to do with me? What do you want to do with me? How do you want to use me? And Jesus will intersect your life with people and people and people all the time. He's looking for someone who is spiritually fat, who is faithful, available, and teachable. And God will wear you out, I promise you. So can you imagine? Joe is right. Look, we got empty chairs. We got plenty of space for people. He's looking around. And finally, Jesus looks within, knowing their hearts. And my friend, He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows you're trying to plan this afternoon. But the focus is, whatever it takes, my friend, Jesus loves you enough that He died on the cross for me and you. That whosoever would put their faith and trust in Jesus, God's word says, you will be saved. Amen? He looked up, He looked down, He looked around, and my friend, He's looking within you. He knows if you have Jesus in you. He knows if you don't have Jesus in you. And the Bible says, my friend, today is the day of salvation. It's the greatest day of our life. Do you know why today's the greatest day of our life? Yesterday's gone, but tomorrow may not come. I beg you to do whatever it takes to step out of the aisle, come talk to us as one of us up here, and say, I surrender to King Jesus. I give my life to Him. But some of us in here need to surrender to King Jesus, recommit our life to King Jesus. Not rededicate, recommit. God wants to use us. He's not done with our church. I can show you a church in Yukon, Oklahoma, where I grew up. I can't see it visibly, but I know what happened inside. But in, on the outside, I can spiritually see Ichabod written over those doors, which means my spirit has been removed from this church. It's not happening here. God's not done with us. We got plenty of people out there that's lost and needs Jesus. We got plenty of people that need help. And two quick stories. There's a guy named Clay. Many of us know him in our staff as Cowboy. He's skinnier than a straw. He walks everywhere, so I can imagine how Jesus looked. Wears a black felt tip hat when it's 180 degrees outside. I encountered him the other day. Randy, you got any soft drinks in that office? He calls me Richard, but whatever. I've never been called Richard. I said, no, Clay, but I know where to find some. So thank you, Matt, and the student ministry for providing a can of Coke and a bottle that's been left over from VBS. It was half full. And he thanked me. And I said, Clay, you need to come to church. We don't need to invite people to church. We need to invite them to Jesus. Because when the guy came to get healed, the reason he couldn't get in, because there are too many church people in there. So I took care of Clay. And I'm telling you this for God's glory. Then there's a man, a young man, that sleeps on a very hard mattress across Pecan on a parking bench. I've seen him. God put him on my heart. God put him in our church, these two individuals. They live around us. But when I got here, I heard some of our people, and I don't remember. Randy, we need to call the police. What for? Did I do something wrong? No, there's a man out there sleeping on that park bench. Broke my heart. Jesus wouldn't have called the police. Jesus would have gone and met his needs. Now, Amy knows I'll sell the house to give something away. She doesn't know I gave him $10 the next Sunday. He was asleep. I slipped it in his shoe. His name is Cameron. The next time I encountered Cameron was outside that door. We have a guy named Richie Sperger that comes up here at 7:30 every Sunday morning, opens the doors. Scared Richie to death. He was right out there sleeping. You know what he uses for a mat? His backpack that's laying on his upside down skateboard. Richie said, young man, it's time to get up. We're getting ready to have church. He obeyed, got up from that door, went right to that door, right outside that door. Guess what? I got text. Randy, we got that homeless guy back. Okay. So I come. Hey, Cameron, how are you? Finally woke up. I said, we're getting ready to have church. You're welcome to come. It's air conditioned. I have a friend that thinks that all homeless people probably need to live where it's cooler. Be smarter. So I encountered Cameron with my friend Peyton. I said, Cameron, would you be interested in work? I said, I can't pay you much, but would you be willing to work? Because my friend Peyton here works for us, and we got to put up a fence. He jumped up like a lightning bolt hit him. And it was beautiful, my friends, to see out the office door. Here goes Peyton, here goes Cameron, walking side by side, putting up the fence for Vacation Bible School. So he comes back. Pastor Matt gives me two Cane's tickets for food. I said, here, brother, here's some food for you. You go to Cane's. So the next time I encountered him, I said, he said, hey, I use those. I said, good, did you enjoy it? He said, yes. I said, did you use both of them? No. Well, what'd you do with the other one? I gave it away. He has nothing. I've offered him clothes. And I don't see cowboy here, Clay. You know what he asked? Which one did he ask? He asked Neil this morning. He said, hey, do you know where I can go get a pair of pants? Because I want to come to church today. I told Clay, you come as you are. Our church will accept you how you are. We need to be those types of people that carried that man on a mat to get him to Jesus, and he healed him. Does that stir anything in your heart, my friend? Does that stir anything to say, Lord, I commit to do that. I want to do whatever it takes. And I promise you the presence of God will be so evident in this place that the only way we can explain it is God did it to his glory. When people thank me, I say my pleasure for God's glory. It's my pleasure for God's glory. I won't take any credit. But let's resolve in our hearts for our commitment time, our response time, to do whatever it takes to help people move one step closer to Jesus. And remind you that Jesus always requires a response. You've heard the word. Now it's time to respond. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for loving us.